Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Amen. Good morning to you. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We want to just say we thank the Lord for the opportunity to come together. And we're glad to see Sister Evelyn this morning. Also, we're missing Sister Juanita this morning. She's having some problems with her hip and has went to Gastonia to the doctor to get a shot, something for that. And then also Sister Rhonda is at home with my mom and grandson this morning. She's been having a cold all week, so we've been sharing it, actually. It's not a one-sided thing, but God's good. And my mom has been suffering, really suffering, with a tooth. And so she's in bed. And so if you have any requests you'd like to put with them this morning, if you want to say by the raising of your hand, we want to put it all before the Lord. Let us just speak to Him. Heavenly Father, once again we come before You, Lord, with praise and glory and honor to Your lovely name. We thank You for this day, for this hour. Lord, for we know, Lord, that You are the author and the finisher of all revelation. And Lord, what has came forth in this day, Lord, is the climax. The climax, Lord, of the revealing of Yourself to Your people, the manifestation of Yourself in Your people, Lord. And we thank You and praise You for that. And Lord, we know that You had this in Your mind before the foundation of the world, just as You had every attribute, Lord. And those attributes to be a Savior, those attributes to be a healer, and Lord, to be the King and the Judge and everything that You are. And Lord, we have need of healing this morning, Lord. Many requests among us, Lord. And we just ask that You would just touch each one, that You would minister to every heart. Give healing where it's needed, Lord. Give spiritual healing and lifting up, Lord, as it's needed. And Lord, we commit these things, and we're asking, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit this morning to guide us in the Word, to give us revelation, Father. And Lord, we pray Your blessings upon Brother Goomba. He's already ministered today, Lord. Maybe even now, I think they had an extra service today. May You bless him and strengthen him, God. Give him much wisdom and much anointing, Lord, upon his life and upon the Word. As we thank You and praise You, and we commit each one of these to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, we're gonna start in the scripture this morning. We have a scripture in Isaiah chapter 46. I'm gonna begin in verse 3. And Brother Michael and I don't think anyone is in need of the quotes. So Brother Michael and I agreed we're not gonna send out the quotes until after the service. I'm sending them to him, so you'll have them here. But what happens is, I always think I'm going to come up short, so I have enough quotes there for about three or four services. And so then, they're already out there, and so what I'm going to start doing is at the end of the service, I'll cut it off, and I'll send him what was there, and he'll put it out there so that you can use the quotes that we used instead of it just keep piling up like that. And so that's always been a thing for me, is knowing how much material to put in there and how long it's going to last. And I've watched preachers that they just somehow or another, they can hit that magic mark every time perfectly, and I'm just not that guy. And so I struggle every time I struggle. But I have been really feeling that on Wednesdays, I might be shorting you, and so I might be taking a little bit more time on Wednesday night, and just to get it said. And so I do have some things that's really been burning on my heart, and we'll get to them as we go along. And this has been a good subject for me. I've enjoyed it, enjoyed studying it, and I believe that the devil don't like it. And I'll talk about that a little bit as we go along here this morning, but I really get into it on Wednesday night, and I'm going to tell you where I'm at. But let's just begin here in the scripture. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Mm-hmm. To whom will you liken me? Now, this is Isaiah way back there, quite some time before Christ come. And when Christ was here, he asked them the question, who do they say I am? Who do they say? Who do they think I am? What do I look like? What do I sound like? What is the perception in the minds of the people, in the hearts of the people, Amen. Of who that I am? And he's asking these people way back before that, what do you think of me? How do you compare me? Where do you place me in all the things you look at and all the greatness you look at and what you think is great in the world and what you think God is and what your conception is? And we all have an intellectual conception. We all have a carnal conception. We have that side. But if we're sons and daughters of God, we also have a spiritual side. Amen. And on that spiritual side, there's a seed there, and that seed is anointed by faith. Yes. It's faith in God, and God anoints that. He anoints that faith that's in you. And that was put in you before the foundation of the world. Amen. And so it's there, and it's only waiting to be quickened. And so that's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. You have something in you that God comes and quickens, and it brings alive the faith that's in you.
Yes, sir.
And so it can be deep, and it can be simple. And it's just, it depends. If you can keep the intellect out of it and just keep it to the word, it stays simple. To whom will, this verse 5, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? Who do you place me with?
Huh?
In that day, all of those gods they had, the gods of Baal, the gods of these different pagan gods and idols and all of those things. Where do you place me among all those gods, among all those idols, among the things that you care about in life, the things that are important to you, and the things that you idolize, and the things you look up to, and the things you respect, and all the goals you have in this natural life? Where do you place me in the lineup?
That's right.
Huh? Because that's exactly where people are at.
That's right.
You place everything. You have a thing that's most important to you, and then you have an order that you come down through.
Yes, sir.
And so God is one of them. Your family is one of them. Your job is one of them. The different things that some people, their money is more important than anything else. There's people who their popularity is more important than anything else. Their social standing, different things. So all of those things, that's what God's asking. That's what he's speaking through this prophet and saying, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. So they make their gods, and Brother Branham said they make their gods today. And he said, anything can be your god. That's what people fail that. People fail to recognize the reality of what he's saying when he says you can make a god out of your wife, out of your husband, out of your car, out of your money, out of all the things that you're seeking in this life. You can make that your god.
Yes, sir.
Because it's more important to you than anything else in this life.
That's right.
And you just watch it, and you watch your actions. You just look in the mirror of God's word and watch your actions, and you will see what your god is. You'll see where you're placing him out there. You'll see where you're placing him.
That's right.
See? They fall down, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, and they carry him, and they set him in his place. And he standeth, and from his place shall he not remove. Now, they got him standing up there, and he can't move, he can't go nowhere, he can't talk, he can't say nothing. I remember one time, I don't remember which one of the prophets was, but they, I think they took something from Israel and they put it in the temple of one of those gods. I don't know if it was Baal, but anyways, he was upright. And so they come back and he was falling down. And who, what was it? The Ark of the Covenant. When they took the Ark of the Covenant. And so their God fell down in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And so they stood him back up and he fell again. Every time he fell, he got more broken up and more broken up. And so he's saying, where do you put me? It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge to every one of us. Where do we place him? Where do we put him in our life? See, they bear him upon the shoulders. They carry him and set him in his place. He standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? They cry, they scream, they can even cut themselves, they can do all kinds of things, but he can't move. And he can't answer them. And he can't do anything. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. See? Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. I am God and there is none like me.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There is nothing, nobody that it compares to God.
Amen.
He stands alone. He speaks alone. He is all in all. He's everything.
Yes. Amen.
And whether we recognize it or not, does not change
Amen.
What he is. He is God.
Yes, sir.
And he's the only one who can answer by fire. He's the only one who can heal. He's the only one who can save. He's the only one that can give you revelation.
That's right.
He's the only one. And the scripture says he is the author and the finisher
yes.
of your faith. And faith means revelation.
Yes.
So whether you see him, or whether you know him, is going to be by the grace of God. It's going to be by rather he reveals himself to you and you can recognize the presence of God for the day and the age that you live in.
Amen.
And recognizing it in any other day still doesn't make it a revelation. It is still just can be a intellectual understanding.
Yes, sir.
So people are more apt to believe what happened in Noah's day, but it's still an intellectual. It's still an intellectual thing. And the scientists can say things to prove this and prove that. So they follow that. They had scientists that proved that the time of the sun was off just the amount of time that Joshua told the sun to stand still.
Yes, sir.
The scientists proved that.
Yeah.
And so intellectually people can believe those things.
Yeah.
But to bring it today and have a revelation of that God who did those things.
Amen.
That's different.
Yes.
And that revelation will only come by God.
Yes, sir.
Ever, forever. And that is what I've been saying. And so that's what I've been saying in this series.
Amen.
And I know I told you the other day I was ministering on Wednesday and in the morning to for Brother Joshua on the hook up there. And talking about the Free Moral Agency and some of those things. And so I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm trying to put my words together right so I'm not criticizing anybody. But not everybody agrees with what I'm saying. And I've been informed that I'm off of the word. And so I'm challenging you this morning. I'm challenging you. Don't you ever believe something that I'm saying because you have confidence in me.
Yes.
Let your confidence be in the revelation that God has gave you in the word.
Yes.
That's where it needs to be.
Yes, sir.
That's where it needs to be. It's got to be in the word. It's got to be God revealing himself to you.
Amen.
And if it's anything else, it's not going to stand. I appreciate you. You should have confidence in me as a minister, as a pastor. You should have.
Amen.
And see, but every one of us ministers here, You, the ultimate for you is God. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Where do you place me? Huh? You, if your pastor says this and this, then that's what you're going to take and it don't matter anything else. No. When somebody comes to me and they say, "Brother, I think you're missing it here," and they give me the quotes, I take those quotes. And if those quotes can't work with what I'm saying, I have a problem.
Yes, sir.
See? But if one person takes quotes on one side, and this is exactly how it is, and this is exactly where you have to find the middle of the road. You can take one side of this thing on free moral agency, and you can say it's all man. Man makes the decision, man makes the choices, and I got some quotes, I won't read them today, where Brother Branham said it's everything that you said, everything that you do, it's what you do. He said, yourself, what you do. And that's exactly right. And Brother Branham said many times, he said he didn't choose this one and not choose that one.
Amen.
But he knew who would.
Yes, sir.
But if you stay with that idea, then everybody who says that they believe, then they've got to believe. And then they got to go in.
Uh-huh.
If it was that simple, and I've said there has to be something deeper. There has to be something deeper than that, because the whole Bible, the whole message is God's choosing and God's planning and God's predestination. He has a plan and he's working that plan to his glory. And you're just tools in his plan. But if he put something in you before the foundation of the world, he put that in there and it's not in the rest of them, then there has to be something,
yes, sir,
that anoints you to make the decisions that you make.
Amen.
That's my point.
Yes,
you, if you stay on one side, you end up somewhere. If you stay on the other side, you end up somewhere.
Right.
But there has to be somewhere. And that's why when I started looking at this, I just thought that there's something in there. Because there's so much, there's a lot of disagreement on the subject. Some are leaning to it's all your decision, your decision, your decision. And then I'm pushing on the other side that it's the sovereignty of God. But you still have to take what he's saying on that, on the other side. But I'm taking the other side because I'm pushing back to that. So you watch Brother Branham sometime when he's trying to make a point, he'll lean to one side of a revelation. And you'll think that maybe he's forgot about what he said over here. No. When he'll come back and he'll lean to this side of a revelation. When he's driving a point, he said, "You've got to nail it down. You've got to nail it down."
Amen.
And I understand that perfectly because I've done all phases of building. And in America, when you're building, and before they had nail guns and before they had all these screws and they had everything else, they just had nails.
Yes.
And they had hammers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way you did everything. You used a heavy hammer for framing. You used a light hammer for trim. You didn't want a hammer mark in your molding.
Right.
But in your framing, you wanted a mark.
Yes.
Because when you nailed your nail into that 2x4, that lumber is going to dry and it's going to move. When they put the heat on the house, this thing starts moving. That's why back in the 70s they had such a problem because they temporarily ran out of lumber and they started putting green wood in the houses. And when they did, the walls started, soon they put the heat on, started cracking, causing all kinds of problems. But when you're nailing that framing, what you do is when you drive it all the way up with your hammer, you drive it up flush, right? Then you have to hit it again. I've seen 100 guys that drive it up there and maybe even the head's just a hair out. And I'd say, "You're not done yet."
Yeah.
I said, "You hit that thing." And I said, "The surface of that wood, it will cushion just a little bit. And when you hit it again, it will go below the surface of the wood."
That's right.
That sets the nail inside of the wood.
Yeah.
It sets it inside of the wood. And so now it's seated. And so that helps hold that nail when the heat comes on the house. If there's any greenness, any wetness in there. How many have ever seen a house that got built without ever getting rained on it? Huh? No, they almost always get rained on while they're building. So that means the wood gets wet.
Yeah.
Now, if that wood don't dry before they close it in, it's going to continue to dry. And you're hoping that it's going to dry before they put this drywall on there. Or this is going to be having cracks in it. And so it's got to be set. And that prophet knew how to set it.
Amen.
He knew how to set it. And when he was setting it, he would come sometimes one way. I used to watch Brother Holmes. And he hated Facebook, and he hated cell phones, and because of the Facebook, and if sometimes I would listen and I would think, if a person didn't know, if they didn't know him, and they just could hear what he's saying, they would think that nobody in the church had a phone. That's how hard he preached against it. He hated them. And I know why he hated them, because he had a daughter that was on him and was getting in trouble. And that he despised it. He hated it. But the fact of the matter was, it's just like cars. Nobody's going back to the horse and buggy. It's just like cell phones. Nobody's going back to, we'll see you next month and we'll catch up. Those days are over. We catch up every day to those you want to catch up with, because you have the ability. When the cell phones come out, I didn't want one. I was a builder. I was on jobs. And I had no use for it. And I thought, what a waste of time. I don't want nobody bothering me. Now, I couldn't go without it. You do 10 times more with it, because you can order your materials. You can talk to your subs. You can do your scheduling. You can do everything right there in the moment. In the moment. And so, and although I don't have Facebook, I said a long time ago, it is a tool that will be used by almost everybody at some point in time. You know, the old people, we can keep holding out, but almost every business has Facebook and has these different things. It's a tool of their business. The social part of it for the teenagers, all that, I hate it. I don't like it. I think it's not good, but it's a tool, and it's here to stay. It don't matter how much you don't like it, it's going to be here, and it's being used. I had, unfortunately, to do just a slight little bit of business this morning because of something came up for tomorrow. And we needed a phone number. I have a carpet cleaner coming, and the water's been turned off at the house we're working on. He has to have water hooked into his truck for the steam to clean the house. And so he said, I said, well, there's a woman next door I can check tomorrow. And I said, I don't have her number. He said, well, you could just look on Facebook. And he said, you could get her number. And I'm like, I said, sorry, buddy, I just don't have it. And so, but people, you would be amazed what people get off of Facebook.
Yes, sir.
And then people get insulted when you're in their business. Yeah. And you put your business out there. Yeah. But if you come up and talk to somebody and say, well, why are you so-and-so-and-so-and-so? And they say, that's none of your business. Oh, you done told the whole world. Why are you offended now?
Right.
You done told the whole world.
That's, right.
That's amazing. And I don't know, can you remember not too long ago how many people were getting busted because they were calling in sick from work?
Yeah.
And then they would post pictures that they're at fishing, or they're swimming, or they're somewhere at the lake. And it's like, what are you thinking? It's crazy. So, but when I started looking at this subject, I knew there was something there. And this morning, something hit me that, you know, when you're reading something and you feel like there's some revelation there, you feel like there's something there you haven't seen yet, and that you just know it's there. And so how many different revelations have come along that God has revealed to you and let you see the truth? And there are so many subjects, and you've seen it come and come and come. And so I just felt like this on one side goes so far this way, and this one side, there has to be something right in the middle.
Amen.
There has to be something right in the middle. And this morning I was thinking on it, Sister Esther, and I was thinking about Kenya. And one time we were at some meetings, and we got a little test. Brother Gumbo was there. Actually, Brother Keenan was there. The sisters were there. And the brother, he was feeding us tripe. And so, and like I said, it was just a test. And I don't care. I can eat tripe. I don't have a desire for it, but it's just the intestines. And so, but it just so happened that I don't know if this cow was just so old or what, but it was so hard. I literally could chew on it for 10 minutes and could not chew it up. It was like that. I mean, I chewed and chewed and chewed, and then I spit it out. And so I tried and tried, and we couldn't. And so, but we look over to the brother, the pastor, and he's eating chicken. And I said, brother, I said, where's the chicken? He said, oh, I'm on a special diet. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, it looks good. And so, so we're just eating our tripe. And well, some of them wasn't eating it. Even Sister Jenny was there that trip. She was there. And so most of them couldn't eat it. And so we were Western Bungoma. So finally we just gave up. So we walked outside, and so we're walking around, and all the people had finished eating, and we came up to where the cooks were, and we were talking to them, you know, and they still had a big pot, this big pot. I mean, it was big. It was probably feeding 150 people at least, maybe twice that. I can't remember how many people was there. And so there was still maybe a third in it. There was still a lot, but you could just see the soup. You couldn't see any food. And I said, everybody's finished eating. They said, yeah. I said, it looks like it's all gone. And he said, no. He said, no, there's still plenty. And I said, well, it doesn't look like it. And so he started digging around down in there with his scoop, and it was chicken. All the people were eating chicken. And it was only these people that came and was financed and actually financing everything was eating tripe. And so it was just a trial. It's just a test that the brother was testing us. And so that was okay. And so, but the funny thing was he had just been in my home and lived with me for weeks and was treated like a king. And then there, I don't know, for some reason he was, and it wouldn't bother me at all if the sisters hadn't been there. But it was all the sisters was there, and I thought, this is no way to treat them. So anyways, my whole point is this. Sorry to spend so much time, but I think it's a good story. He started stirring around down in there. And he brought that big old spoon, that scoop back out, and it was just a bunch of chicken. And I said, can we have some of that? We were hungry. We weren't eating that night, or wasn't going to get full that night. And he said, yes, there's plenty. And so sometimes in the Word of God, if we just keep stirring around, if we just keep stirring around in there, we'll find out there's some more in there.
That's right. Yes, sir.
God has some more in there. Amen. And people get this idea that they got it all. No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. Did the prophet reveal it all? I do believe that. I believe that was the gift of the age,
yes,
that he was the one who was to speak it. And now the mysteries are laying in the messages.
That's right.
And those things are coming. They've been coming. And yet you can say maybe most of it's out there. I don't know. I would say, yes, there's so much been revealed over the years. I mean, we're at 70 years almost. And so much has been said. But I would never say it's all been said.
Amen.
I don't think so.
That's right.
If it's all been said, then what are we here for?
Yes, sir.
What are we doing?
That's right.
And so that always stuck with me. He started stirring around in that pot, and he brought something up, and we went back and told the people, said, everybody's eating chicken. I said, just you people. What's wrong with you people? So, but you know the nice thing about being a Christian is you know that God's in control of all things.
Yes.
He's always in control of all things.
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter how you're treated or what's happening or this. No, it don't matter. Because you're walking with God and you have that confidence. You have that confidence that whatever happens in this situation, God is with me.
Yeah.
God is taking care of it. Let's look at verse 9 again. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And there's my scripture right there. That's what I wanted to get, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what he knew at the beginning. He knew at the beginning what happens at the end.
Amen.
And he began talking about it. And he began revealing it through his prophets what was going to happen. And all down through the ages, down through the time, the things that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, he started letting it out. As it was happening, as things were happening for that day, then the people of that day, God would raise up somebody and they would speak. And they would be God speaking through them. And so that's the reason Brother Branham said that Christ was in Adam, that Christ was in Moses, that Christ was in Jeremiah, that Christ was with every one of them prophets. It was Christ speaking, revealing himself. And many of them, just like he said with Adam concerning the things that he did. And he said Adam was a perfect type of Christ. A perfect type. Isn't that something? You know what else he said about Adam? He said he was the perfect type of the lukewarm carnal church. That's right. Is that right? You know that? How could he be both of those? How could he be like Christ going and taking his wife? And how could he be like the carnal church? Because here, he disobeyed the word of God. And that's what the churches are doing. They're disobeying. So that was a type. And when we do it, it's a type too.
Yes, sir.
We're doing the same thing they did. But here, he was created in the image of God.
Amen.
That's what Adam was. Adam didn't have any say-so. He didn't have any choice. Adam, the Bible says, was created in the image of God.
Yes, sir.
And you can do whatever you want to that. That's up to you. I just leave it like it is. I do my best to leave it like it is.
Yes, sir.
But we... I like it when the devil's mad.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. It just, you know, for a preacher, you always have pressure when you come here. You always feel like you're always concerned, Lord, let me say it right. Let me say it right. Let me say it right. And so when Satan's on your back, then, it puts more pressure on. But when you know, when you're confident that there's something there, and I'm confident in this. I'm confident in this because I've been looking at it a long time, a long time. I'm talking about years. I've been looking at this subject because there's something there that I hadn't been getting. And so just like when we talked about the Godhead between the Father and the Son, and I don't know, I hope that the things that we covered in that helped some of you, and I think it did, but when you're talking about that, when he's talking about the Father and the Son, and Paul, when you're reading the scripture, and even Paul was saying, greetings from God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. If that's not two people, I don't know what it is. But the whole Bible and the whole message declares there's only one God. And so somewhere those two have to be one. And they're not one like the Trinity doctrine says they're one.
Amen.
And they're not one like the oneness say that they are.
Right.
And that's where I was off. That's where I got sidetracked, is because I always believed that he was one just like that. One just like my finger, he was one. And that was a conception, because you keep saying there's one God, there's one God, there's one God. And that's exactly right. But Brother Branham said he can't be one like your finger, because he has a son.
Right.
So the simplicity is that the Father is the eternal spirit. And the eternal spirit created a veil of flesh.
Yes, sir.
And the eternal spirit came down and dwelt in this veil of flesh.
Amen.
So it didn't make him a second person.
Nope.
It didn't make him a third person. What happened was that spirit was now dwelling in flesh.
Amen.
And so the Father and the Son,
yes, sir,
were one and the same.
Amen.
They were one and the same.
Amen.
See? And Jesus said, I came from the Father.
Right.
I go back to the Father.
Right.
I came from spirit and I'm going back to spirit.
Amen.
I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come.
Yes.
That's right. Personal pronoun.
That's right.
personal pronoun, that was not the flesh speaking. That was the Spirit, the Father in the flesh that was speaking.
Yes, sir.
I will come and make my abode in you.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Yes.
But yet it's still deep. It's still deep. And so, so are many things. The whole message is a razor edge. The whole revelation is a razor edge. And so we must keep it before God all the time.
Yes, sir.
All the time. Now, I told you, Brother Branham, there was things that Brother Branham didn't understand. And I say that all of us, there's things. When we have a close walk with God, there's things that we look at and we wonder about. And why was it like this? Brother Branham said one of his things was how that Moses could tell God a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Here God was going to destroy them because of their rebellion, because of all their nonsense. He was going to destroy them. And Moses wouldn't let him. You say wouldn't let him? Moses stopped him. And you know how he did it? He did it by the word. He brought the word of God and throwed it in front of God. And he said, Lord, you said that you were going to bring this people into that land, and you were going to make them a mighty nation.
Yes, sir.
What did Moses do? He held the word before him. Mm-hmm. The same thing that he tells us to do is to hold the word before us always.
Amen.
No matter what Satan brings, no matter what we go through, take and put that word before you.
Yes, sir.
And Moses, as mad as he got, as upset as he got with those people, he got vexed with them.
Amen.
Because they were always complaining and always whining and always everything coming back against God. And he would get mad like a father. But he had a love in his heart for those people. So when God was ready to take him, he said, Lord, take me.
Amen.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Fulfill your word. Don't do this. And to think, he brings it to his attention. Lord, look at what the nations, all these people are going to think. All these unbelievers, what they're going to think. Now, you've delivered them with a mighty hand, and now they're going to die in the wilderness? You're going to destroy them all? Lord, what are they?
Amen.
He loved those people. And one of the reasons I seen this morning, Brother Branham said that there he was in the palace being taught all of the wisdom of the
yes,
Egyptians.
Sir. That's right.
And there was his tutor, his mother, and she was teaching him constantly that he was God's chosen vessel to deliver the children of Israel. She was teaching him, these are the chosen people of God. And God, because of their rebellion, prophesied through the prophets and said they would be in bondage for 400 years. And she's teaching him now, the time is at hand. And said, now your father was praying. And when he was praying, God let him see a vision that you were going to raise up and you were going to deliver the children of Israel. And so he was taught that from his youth.
Amen.
And so that was in him. But and it was faith, but it was an intellectual faith. He had an intellectual faith. He knew that this is what he was called for.
Yes, sir.
He knew this was his purpose in life. And I can remember the first time we went to India. And there was a man who, Purushottam, that did the prison ministry. And he would go into these prisons, and it was hard. They have hard life there anyways, but then the prisons is they're just in a cage. It's not as big as that bar right there. It's just a cage, and they live in it. And he would get their story, and this man gave his story, and he said, He was born into a family of so many children, and that each child had their place. And he said, my destiny in life, he said, I was born the avenger of the family. And said, if anybody did anything to anyone in the family, it was my place to avenge them. And so something happened, and he did, and now he's in jail. I don't know if he killed somebody or what he did to him. I think he killed somebody. But he said, that's what I was born for. Now, who told him that? Now, who taught him that? He was taught that.
Amen.
You don't just raise up as a child and say, I'm an avenger. You know, you might get that off of television or some of that nonsense, but he was taught that from a child.
Yes,
and this is what Moses was taught from a child.
Yes,
and Moses sat there in that palace looking out the window, and he's seen them toiling. He's seen them being beat. He's seen them struggling. And he knew in his heart, this is the children of God.
Amen.
These are God's chosen people that are being destroyed. And as I'm sure that any one of us, if we were sitting there, we would have a tinge of guilt, thinking that we're sitting here living in luxury and our people are out there dying. Our people are out there being beat. Our people are out there being destroyed. And so there was something that he was going through, but it was building something in his heart. That he wanted to see them delivered. And he thought that he was going to do it with his intellect. He thought he was going to do it with his military learning, with his scientific learning. And he tried. And when it failed, there was nothing for him to do but run away. But when he got on the backside of the desert, he met God. He came in contact with God. And Brother Branham said, in this message, Why Christ Speak, he said, and that which was in him made contact, and it anointed.
Yes.
It anointed that which was in him.
Yes, sir.
And made it live.
Amen.
It lived for that day. It lived the word of that day.
Right.
And it brought him to the realization by revelation, not by his intellect anymore now. Now he knew by revelation that he was the one. And he asked God for vindication. And God gave him vindication after vindication after vindication. And proved that he was with him. That's why when they got to the climax of it, they got down there at the water's edge. He said, don't you cry.
Amen.
Don't you cry. Speak.
Yes, sir.
Because God had already proven it.
That's right.
And that's exactly what the prophet said. He said that he had always been. He said, it's what we're all guilty of. Every one of us.
Amen.
He said, that's what Moses was guilty of. We want God to push us and push us and push us. Now, you take every one of those things. If God is pushing you, then how are you doing it?
Amen.
How is everything your decision?
Yeah. Huh?
If it's God pushing you.
Amen.
How is it all you? It's not all you.
Right.
It's you and God.
Amen.
God's doing his part. You're doing your part.
Amen.
You've got something to do. Don't think you don't.
That's right.
And God don't want you to just wait till you're pushed. What you've got to do is it's got to be revealed to you.
Amen.
That you are a son or a daughter of God.
Yes, sir.
And when you receive that revelation, then you need to walk like that. Don't come in and out,
Amen.
In and out of the world. Don't come in and out of, I don't know if I am, I don't feel good today. This is just a bad, no.
Nope.
You're a son and daughter of God.
That's right.
You're the same every day. You're not a child of the devil today because you don't feel good. You're not a child of God tomorrow because you do.
Amen.
No. You're a son and daughter of God every day.
Yes, sir.
And everything is for a purpose.
Amen.
God has a purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
That tribe was for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
Whatever God wants, that's what we want.
Amen.
That's right. Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Huh? God's going to raise up somebody to destroy. What did he do with Israel when they were coming out? He removed himself from the front and he went to the back.
That's right.
What was he fixing to do? Judgment.
Yes, sir.
That's right. But what did he do? He had challenged them to speak, to go forward. And that's what we're in the judgment now.
Amen.
We're in judgment.
Yep.
This world is being judged.
Right.
The whole world, not just this country.
Right.
Every nation.
Amen.
It's happening. The churches are being judged. You look, they're going worse and worse and worse. It's just these things. I was reading some things Brother Branham said the other day about the homosexuals. And I looked at, you know, all the stuff that's going on now. I know it's worse now because of the transgender and all of that stuff. But I can't remember. Is it in this? Is it in this one? You said you listened to the message. Brother Branham made a statement, and I don't know if it was in this message or not. Brother Michael might can confirm it. Brother Branham said in the 50s or 60s that Florida had just fired 60% of its teachers for homosexuality. You ever hear that? Ever read that? See, I just read it yesterday, and I didn't pull it off, but I was thinking, because he talked about California, and a number of times he talked about California. He said, in the last year, he said, homosexuality is on the rise 30-something percent, I think it was the number that he said. But there, I think he said 60% of the teachers. Can you imagine that? What that would do to the workforce? 60%? That's over half of your teachers. And so I'll confirm that. And so it's been here. It's been here all the way through. It's just that it was hidden. It's just that it was, people talk about coming out of the closet. That's they've been talking about that my whole life. They've been coming out. And I can remember one time there was a judge who left his wife. And he said, I just realized that it was time to come out. He had married and had children because that's what they did. They pretended like they were heterosexual. They pretended like they were a part of society with the normal thinking. And in reality, they were doing that on the side. And that's what's happening in a lot of these other countries too. And so, but then this guy, when it became a big thing to come out, he divorces his wife. There's only one word for it. It's insanity.
That's right.
It's insanity.
That's it.
It's total, complete insanity. And people can say it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's plain and simple. God condemns it in every shape, form, and fashion.
Amen.
See, the man will execute my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass, and I have purposed it, and I will also do it. Now, there's a lot going on right there in that verse of Scripture that God is saying He's going to do. He's going to do. Is that right?
Amen.
I'm going to raise somebody up. How many times did God raise up another nation to destroy Israel or beat Israel?
Yeah. Yep.
God didn't blame it on the devil.
Amen.
He didn't blame it on the devil. He said, I will do this.
Yep.
Because of your rebellion, because of your failure to obey. Huh? Because you, leaving the word. God was doing it. When God was bringing the plagues on Egypt. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. Was there anywhere there where he said the devil was bringing the plagues? Did you read that anywhere?
Yeah.
Or was God bringing the plagues?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So God was doing it.
Yes, sir.
So everything that's bad is not just the devil. And everything that's good is not just God. Huh?
Right.
Come on, there's going to be a middle of the road somewhere.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I remember Brother Holmes preaching many years ago where he was taking out an insurance policy and the had on the policy where they're describing the terms and conditions and everything and says, and it said, except for an act of God.
Yeah.
In other words, storms and this and this and this. These were all called acts of God. And he condemned that, and he said, that's not acts of God, that's the devil. So, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But God has to allow that. Is that, does he? Does God have to allow it? The devil can't do anything God don't allow him to do. And then sometime God does what he wants to when he wants to. So, there has to be a middle of the road. So, I'm not just preaching, as I was accused of, to say that all the bad things, that God's doing it. That's not what I'm saying.
Amen.
I know the devil has his place. But I also know that God has his place.
Yes.
And God is the one who delivered the children of Israel. Amen. And God is the one who brought judgment upon them on Egypt. God is the one. And so you just follow it all the way through. Everything's not identified as the devil.
Verse
12, hearken unto me, you sloth-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Amen. Praise be to God. That's right. Okay, so now we're going to get into this message. Why Christ speak, and then... we'll just see how far we get, and then I want to read a few things on Wednesday night that we'll bring. Paragraph 47. Now remember, when Moses met this burning bush, the word was vindicated exactly.
Amen.
It was the word. And Moses didn't have to worry what this voice is all about. He didn't have to worry about what this voice is all about. No. What's this being here? Because God had already wrote it on the scripture. In Genesis, your people will sojourn in this land. See? But they'll be brought back after 400 years. We'll come back into a country, this country again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So, God took them out. And then when he brought them out, he said they're going to sojourn 400 years in another land. And he's not going to bring them back until something else happens. And that something else is that the iniquity of the Amorites has to be fulfilled. So all of this righteous living, this adultery and idolatry and all of this bad stuff, it's going to have to come to a climax before God is going to deliver them back. Is that?
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Okay. So this has got to happen. It's just like Paul talking about the coming of the Lord. He said, now, he's not going to come until first there be a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. So he's telling you, it's going to happen. They're going to come, but yet there's something has to happen first. And that's why when you read, and I think Brother Goomba, I know he brought it here, but I heard him preaching it out there somewhere on online. And talking about the rapture. And he was bringing it really beautiful because the rapture couldn't take place until certain other things happened.
Amen.
And he was bringing that all of those things have happened. And so they already happened. And so Israel's in her homeland. This has happened. This has happened. The church ages is finished. These things are happening. So he was bringing that. And so, and that's exactly right. That's how it is. It's on condition. It's on condition when these different things happen, then God can fulfill or is going to bring to pass that which he promised. He's already promised it. He's already said it's going to happen.
Amen.
See? So the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. Moses knew this intellectually, and the seed that was born in him was laying in his heart. Now I want to bring some more quotes on this because Brother Branham said, it was in there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And I like that. And I don't think the devil likes it. So when I think the devil don't like something, I just want to say it more.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say it louder.
Amen.
And he tried through his intellectual experience with the word, tried to bring them out, to deliver them, because he knowed he was born for that purpose.
Amen.
So he tried. He knowed he was born for it. So sometimes you know that God's calling you and you're trying to do it yourself and it doesn't work out. That's what Moses did. He was trying to do it.
Yes, sir.
He had an intellectual faith. He knew his mother had taught him well and he'd seen the prophecy. He'd seen the scripture. He'd seen the people in bondage. He knew the time was at hand.
Yeah.
Everything was there.
Yeah.
But yet he took it upon himself and it wasn't God's way. Just as we know now, as I ask, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture. Now we know we've lived the time out. The time of the rapture is at hand. And we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. And when we see a God that can raise the dead off the floor, have we seen that?
Yes,
oh, we have. Yes. It's happened. Or out of the yard and bring him back to life again, present him back before us. When we see a God who can take a cancer that's eat a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. See? That when that light flashes from the sky, the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. Yes. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen. Our schools of theology can never produce that. Listen to what he's saying now.
Amen.
There's got to be something like that happen. Think about that. Not what the theologians have been teaching for the last 2,000 years. Not what their ideas have been. Not the carnal idea of it. It's got to be some reality. It's got to be a contact that's got to be made. That was the difference for Moses. When he seen that burning bush, he got in the presence of God and he made contact.
Amen.
And when he made contact, that faith that was in him, that seed, then God quickened that. It was anointed. And then he knew. Then it was by revelation. And so that has to happen in every single one of us. And when it does the same thing. It does the same thing what the church is looking for in a more natural manner, the bride is doing in a spiritual manner.
Amen.
Because when you come into his presence, when he reveals himself to you, then you are quickened into the presence of God. The scripture plainly says, you are sitting now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And so, if Paul can tell the people of his day that they have been translated into the kingdom while they're sitting on the benches in the church. He's saying, you have been translated into the kingdom. Then we can say the same thing by a greater revelation that we have today.
Amen.
You have been translated into the kingdom, heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
People make that, they want to make that so far out there and they can read it right in their Bible. Yeah. The problem is they didn't believe it when they wrote it there, believed it when it was wrote there, so they can't believe it now.
Amen.
It'll take a revelation from God for you to believe it.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's right.
Paul talking to the same people sitting on the same benches.
Amen.
In Colossians, he said, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And he didn't explain it.
Amen.
And our prophet comes along and he says, now, it wasn't your body that died. It wasn't your spirit that died.
That's right.
And that's what we've been thinking for 2,000 years. We've been thinking the spirit died and you got a new spirit. But he said, Brother Ram said, it was not your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit,
Amen.
Which is the soul.
That's right.
It was something right in the middle.
Yep.
See, that's the revelation. He just kept stirring around down in there and brought up another piece of chicken.
Amen.
He brought up some more revelation.
Yes,
and it's in there. Just keep
Amen.
Stirring the pot.
Yes,
and God will just keep feeding you something and feeding you something.
Amen.
Don't get tired. Don't lay it aside. Just keep stirring it.
Yes.
Keep get that. Scratch the bottom of it. That's where the best stuff's at anyways.
Amen.
All that good flavoring goes to the bottom.
Yep.
Yeah. Those pieces down there, they're the best ones. See? Changed in a moment, taken to them. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen. Okay, moving on down. Yet they intellectually are all right, see? But you got to meet the light. Now, he's saying our schools of theology can never produce that. Yet, intellectually, they are all right. So we can say the same thing about our message churches today, see? The intellectually, they're okay. They can say a lot of the same things. See? Yes, we believe the prophet. Yes, we believe the message. Yes, we believe this, the seven thunders are going to bring rapturing faith. But then they don't have an avenue to receive the seven thunders until they get over there. They don't think they're going to know those things until they get over there. Well, then how are you going to use it to get you there?
That's right. Yes, sir.
They create their own problem. They create their own problem with their intellectual idea about it. Let God do it. Leave it just like God said. Brother Branham talked about those seven thunders and the unveiling of God. And he said, you be careful when you say that. When you say that. It's got to be a revelation. It's got to be a revelation. And here Moses, paragraph 50, here Moses basing his great call upon the word. See, it was great. Now, until one day he met this light and the very word itself spoke back to him. Then he got his anointing, see, that anointed what he had in him. See, that anointed what he had in him, that on the inside, that's right, the intellects that believed it, see, the faith that was based upon his belief in God that separated him from his mother. And now when he strikes in the presence of this light, see, it anointed that he believed. See, what? How did he believe it? Intellectually he believed it. So now that gets anointed. Now that gets quickened. That intellectual faith now is made alive and now it becomes a reality. He's come in contact with God. Yes, see? It anointed that he believed. See? What an anointing. And he was commissioned. See? And my point is that this was all done before the foundation of the world. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. God had it in his mind. And I know how it's explained. It's you in, and the quotes are there. The quotes are there. That you that God didn't decide these things, that he just knew what you were going to do. That there's some truth to that. But if you stay with that, then all of these thousands and thousands and thousands of times that God chose and that God did this and he did this to make that happen and this to make that happen, nope, then you didn't have a whole lot of choosing. I never want to discount anything that Brother Branham said. I don't want to discount it. I don't want to discount it. And I got some quotes here that are going to be very strongly against what I say, and I'm going to read them on Wednesday night. And so, and that's why I'm telling you. You have to ask God to give you a revelation.
Yes, sir.
You have to ask God to reveal it to you. I'll say it the best I can, but that's not a revelation.
Yeah.
The revelation is when God gives it to you.
Amen.
How many of you believe that you have a revelation, amen, of the Father and the Son?
Amen.
That you have a revelation that you know who, amen, God the Father is and you know who God the Son is.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
God did that for you.
Yeah.
No man did it. God did it.
That's right.
And so that every bit of the message has to be just like that. And until God reveals it, we are doing the best we can.
Amen.
Anything that is not a revelation to me, I'm dealing with it intellectually the best I can.
Amen.
Anything that hasn't been revealed to you, you're dealing with it intellectually the best you can.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We don't have a revelation of every single thing that we read.
Amen.
We read some things and we wonder, what does that mean, Lord? What does it mean?
Amen.
But you're going to him for that revelation. And you listen to the preachers, you read the books, you listen to the tapes, and all the time you're depending on God to make it real.
Amen.
And he will, and he does,
yes,
and he has.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of this Christian walk.
Amen.
Is that you see God vindicate his presence in your life over and over and over again. See, now intellectually he heard his mother. See, how many of you young people were raised in the message? You heard your mother, you heard your father, you were just raised in it your whole life.
Amen.
You were blessed. I wasn't. I was 20 years old before I heard this message. And before I started going to church, I had just went a few times as a child, wasn't a churchgoer, none of that. So if you were raised in this message, you are so blessed. That this,
amen.
But that is not it altogether. You can take somebody who's never heard anything about God and come out of the world and get it just like that.
Yes, sir.
It's every bit in God's hands.
Amen.
It's in God's hands. If you were in it all your life, it's in God's hands. If you never heard nothing your whole life,
that's right.
It's in God's hands.
Amen.
It's not just you making a decision. That might sound contrary, and it does sound contrary to some of the quotes. I know that it does. But I'm telling you, there's two sides to it, like there is to everything.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Two sides to it.
That's right.
And so if we can't pull all of it together, then we're just as bad as the other side.
Amen. Right.
He knew what was going to take place. He knew he was living in that day. Reminds me that Brother Branham said, and I've seen, and probably every one of you will relate to this, that you have talking to people at work, or you ever get in a conversation about God, about the end time, about the politics, about all of those things, and talk to people who just rank unbelievers, not in the message, not even, maybe don't even go to church, and they will tell you that we're in the last days. You ever talk to an unbeliever and them tell you we're in the last days?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not a churchgoer. They're not a religious person. But they know we're in the last days.
Yeah.
How do they know that? Yeah. Intellectual faith. They have an intellectual faith. They are seeing the same thing you're seeing.
Yeah.
They're seeing the politics. They're seeing the condition of the world. And they've heard scripture from different people all their life.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't go to church and get it, but they heard about it.
Yeah.
Moses heard about it. He couldn't go down to the Jewish churches. He was sitting in the palace. So, but his mama was constantly teaching him.
Right.
And sometimes people, maybe they don't go on a regular basis, but you kind of got a joke here in America where the ones who don't go, a couple times a month, they go a couple times a year.
Right.
They do Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
You'll see them. And they always get a new outfit. I'm okay with that if you come all year. But if you only come on Easter, that's why they wear the new outfit. They want to look their best. So let me get away from that. But here he found out that he was a failure. So his faith might have dropped back a little bit, see? And then when he comes to the bush, and you know that happens to us. Sometime we got this all figured out. We think we're going to do this and this and this. And then, just like Moses, he goes and he tries to deliver them, and it don't work. Huh?
Right.
And our faith drops back a little bit. We realize that that was intellectual faith, and that wasn't a revelation that God gave us. But then, when he comes to the bush, God said, I've heard the cries of my people. I remember my promise to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've come down. Huh? I, personal pronoun. I have come down to deliver them. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Nothing like living in one of those days.
Yes, sir.
And that's the day that we live in.
Yes.
That he come down himself.
Amen.
That's right. Revelations 10. That mighty angel came down to reveal the seven thunder mysteries.
Amen.
That's what he came for. That's not in the future. That's been proven that has happened.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And so if he has come, then the scripture says when he comes, he will speak those seven thunder mysteries. And they would be in mystery form. And God would reveal them through the vessel that he was speaking through.
Amen.
So that seventh angel messenger, he brought a message to the seventh church age. Right? He was just like any other messenger that came on the scene. God anointed the faith that was in him, that was put in there before the foundation of the world, anointed that faith, revealed to him the word of the day.
Yes,
he speaks it to the people. And so every one of those messengers all the way through, they preached the revelation of their day.
Amen.
And then they left the scene. Those around them denominated that revelation, and God continued on into the next messenger, the revelation lifted up higher, but those people that didn't come higher, they died in the old revelation.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that interesting? It, 1 minute it's life, and the next minute it's death.
Amen.
And what made it death was the fact that God had sent more, and they refused the more.
That's right.
There's the problem.
Yes, sir.
So then the difference was in the seventh church age, at the end of the seventh church age, all the mysteries of the, this Bible, all the mysteries of the Bible was to be revealed.
Amen.
First.
Yes, sir.
And then, after all of this was revealed, when those seven seals was revealed, then this Bible was completed. And it was closed and it was sealed.
Right.
It was sealed up. Brother Branham said that the seven seals, the opening of the seven seals, closes the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Because it was finished. The revelation was finished. It was all fulfilled. Everything was done. It was complete. And he said, only waiting for one thing. Those seven mysterious thunders. When those seals was revealed, there was only one thing left to do. And that was those thunders had to be revealed.
That's right.
And he said those seven thunders would be the mysteries contained in the seals, which we know was in the seventh seal. It was in the seventh seal.
Amen.
Because that was his coming, and that's where he speaks them. And so, when he come, the seventh angel's message was finished because the seventh church age was finished. It was over. It was closed. So now God, he just needs only one thing to pull this off. He just needs a veil of flesh.
That's right.
And so what God does, he now takes the flesh of the seventh angel who's finished his message.
Yes,
and has already told the people, he said, now there can't be two of us at the same time. There are going to be two prophets at the same time. He said, now the seventh church age is finished. He said, but those thunders, they got to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what was a surprise to the people was, that took them a while to figure it out, that God was going to use the flesh of the seventh angel now that his message was finished. And he was going to speak. He was going to come down just like he did for Moses. He said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to lead them. And so he come down and he began to speak those seven thunder mysteries.
Right.
And so the seven thunders are the mysteries that are contained in the messages after the seals.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, they're between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So you're reading it, and he's saying something, saying something, saying something, and God reveals to you what he's saying. It's that simple. And he typed it like a love letter. He said, your wife, you can be off in another country and your wife can write you a letter and say something. And as she's saying it, you're reading between the lines because you know her, you know the home, you know the children, you know the place, you know everything. And so she's telling you this story and you're seeing it and you're knowing exactly and you're feeling exactly what she's trying to get over to you without saying it right out. And that's what Brother Branham said, that when he's around somewhere around page 9 in Unveiling of God, he said, now I hope and pray that you people have been getting what God has been trying to say to the church without saying it right out.
That's right.
God had been saying something without saying it right out. He said those seven thunders would not be known to the public. They would not be known to the public. They were going to be a mystery revealed only to the bride. So as one group is reading it, getting it intellectually, another group is reading it and getting a revelation.
Yes, sir.
See? The personal pronoun, I have come down to deliver them. And now, and may I just add this, if God forgive me, if it sounds sacrilegious. I did not work upon the earth. See, only through man. I do not work upon the earth only through man. So if God's going to do something, he's going to raise up the man, right?
Yeah.
And so that man somehow is going to have to agree by his free moral agency. Somehow his free moral agency is going to have to be in line with God because God's going to use him,
yes,
right? Because God, only way God can speak, the only way God can reveal is now through a man.
Yep.
And so if everything is based just on that man making his own decisions, then where are we?
That's right.
Brother Branham said that man loses his decisions. He loses his thinking. He loses his desire. Amen. He loses everything, and God takes over. And now this man is now moving by the Spirit of God, moving by the Word of God.
Yes.
And this man is making decisions.
Amen.
This man don't have a revelation of every single thing God wants done.
Right.
No, do you?
No,
no. No, but what are you doing? Your life is being based, your decisions are being based on the Word and on the Spirit.
Amen.
So as you're being moved by the Spirit and the revelation of the Word that you have in you, now, those decisions that you're making, God is moving you.
Amen.
So,
yes, sir.
How about when somebody, let me just keep stirring this thing up. How about when Moses disobeyed and he smote the rock again?
Yes.
And he took the glory for himself. And he said, you rebels, I'll give you water. And he smote it again. He wasn't supposed to do that. Is that right?
That's right.
He was not supposed to do that. But now I want to ask you a question. He disobeyed. He did wrong. Do we agree on that?
Yes, sir.
Did the water come from the rock?
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes.
Why did the water come from the rock? When he made the wrong decision. With his free moral agency. He made the wrong decision. He'd done the wrong thing. And it cost him. He did not go into the promised land because of what he did. But did the water come from the rock? It absolutely did. And why did it come from the rock? Because God was vindicating his man. God had said it and God did it. And he'll do the same with you.
Yes, sir.
It don't mean every decision I make, everything that I do is perfectly right. Brother Branham said, we don't even get up out of the bed the right way. We're imperfect in all that we do.
Amen.
But God is not looking at that. Listen, if you in your marriage, let's just say marriage, you can put it in a family, say you're a child and you got two or three siblings, you can put it there, put it wherever you want to. You wake up every morning and you look at them and you say, you start listing off their imperfections, all their problems.
Yeah.
You know, they do this and this and this, and you look at your sister and you say, man, I don't like the way she does that. She says such and such. She did this, she did this. Where do you think that's going to get you? Where are you going to end up with that? No, it's the wrong spirit.
Amen.
It's the wrong spirit. And it's going to build a hate relationship.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When you are in love, you overlook those things.
Amen.
And God is overlooking a lot because these veils of flesh are not perfect. There's a perfection in there, but it's not yours, it's his.
Amen.
That's the only way you can be perfect,
right,
is when he is in there.
Amen.
And then you're getting credit. You ever get credit for something somebody else did? Huh? I have. Did you immediately say? I didn't always immediately say. Sometimes it was later. We should always say immediately. But that happens. It happens. And sometimes it happens for that reason, to see what you're going to do.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah. And so you make that mistake and you will be very careful in the future to make it right really fast. It's so easy to say it right up front, but it gets harder and harder every moment you let go by.
Yeah.
So honest confession is good for the soul.
Yes, sir.
And so God is not sitting there concentrating on our faults and our failures. God is looking at the blood. God is looking at the Word that's living in you.
Yes, sir.
And that's where the perfection is. It's his perfection.
Amen.
I don't want mine. God, don't. I don't want mine. No, you have plenty to criticize here. But him, you don't want to criticize him. Praise God. And now, paragraph 52. I may just add this to it. God forgive me if it sounds sacrilegious. I do not work on the earth only through man. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And I only declare myself when I can find a man. And I have chose you. And I'm sending you down to take them out. See? Notice now. I'll be with your mouth, and you'll take this rod. And Moses said, Can I see an evidence that you'll send me? Now this was early on. Okay? He's got to go. Now he's at the burning bush. God's revealing himself. God's vindicating that thing. God's anointing that thing in there. And he's vindicating the fact that he called him for that. The same thing his mother had been telling him his whole life. That the time was at hand, that the scripture made the promise, and that God had called him before the foundation of the world to be the one. And so now here God is vindicating that, and now he's asking for some more. Because so much of that was building off of his intellectual faith. Now he wanted some supernatural. Now he wanted something. Can I see an evidence that you'll send me? And you've anointed me. And you're going to do these things. Said, what do you got in your hand? What did he tell our prophet? What are you hunting for? What are you doing out here in the woods? What are you hunting for? He said, well, I'm hunting for squirrel. How many do you want? How many do you want? You know that didn't happen just one time. It happened three times. That's three times. Isn't that amazing? He said, a stick. He said, throw it down. And it turned to a serpent. And he fled. Sometimes that's what we do. We run from the very thing. That's what the prophet was doing when all those preachers were telling him the gift that he had was the devil. That's what they were telling him. It was the devil. They said, you need to get that spirit off of you. You need to pray God, get that thing off of you. That's nothing but the devil. And he was running from it. He was trying to get away from it.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Moses did. He ran away. But pretty soon, it was revealed to him how he was going to be able to pick it up and hold it and control it.
Amen.
And it was going to be a stick when he wanted it to be a stick. It was going to be a serpent when he wanted it to be a serpent.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Because God was raising his faith up to hold it.
Amen.
To make it move the way it was meant to move.
Yes, sir.
He said, take it up. And it turned back to a stick. He said, put your hand in your bosom and take it out. It was leprosy. Couldn't run from that, could he? It was just going to go right with him. That's right. See, put it back. It was healed.
Amen.
All right. Could you imagine? Honey, I'm home. I want to show you something. Look at that. Leprosy. Put it back clean.
Yep.
Throw his stick down. Serpent.
Amen.
I don't know what Moses did, but I'll guarantee you, probably on the way back from that bush back to my house, I'd have thrown that stick down a few times.
Yep.
And I just had to see it again. I just had to see it another time. And then I'd pick it up, make it a stick again.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. This thing is for us to live in.
That's right.
This thing is for us to have, to be a part of it. God give it to you. He give you the gifts. He give you all of it.
Yes.
It's yours.
Yep.
And it's only good if you use it.
Amen.
It's only good if you use it. Did you ever notice he never run to the wilderness again? No. He never ran from that stick, that snake again.
That's right.
No. Now it was revealed. Now he had it. See? He knew he was anointed. He knew where all these things had been in his heart. It was buried down in there now. And God anointed that thing now. And now it's just bubbling out. Now he's just bubbling out. Now he's just he's just excited. He's met his God.
Yep.
Now he don't know how in the world he's going to go down there with a stick and take over the greatest nation. But those trials, those things are still ahead of him. But now there's one thing that's happened to him. He has met his God.
Yes.
And that when that happens to us, we're going to go through it all. It don't matter how much strain and struggle, it don't matter how much fight, no matter how much hardship, no matter how many times somebody tries to feed you tripe while they're eating chicken, none of those things matter.
Amen.
None of those things matter. No, only one thing matters now, that you have met your God.
Yeah.
And He's going to take you through.
That's right.
He's going to take you through. So down towards Egypt he goes. God said, I'll be with you. So that settles it. See, I'll be with you. That's all Moses had to know. For this great call in his heart, now God said, I'll be with you. And so God had vindicated Moses' claims. See, Moses claimed, I have met God. And he said, I am sent me. Praise God. So God had called him from his birth and put qualities in him of great faith. And then came down with his presence and anointed that great something that was in him.
Yes,
praise be to God. That's exactly what he did to you. He made the promises, and then by his presence, he came down and anointed that seed that was in you to bring it to life. Sent him down with his word. He was properly vindicated of his claims. See? What Moses said, God honored, because God's word was in Moses. I'll be with your mouth. It'll speak the right things.
Amen.
What a promise.
Yes, sir.
And you know, he gives us those same promises. He takes no thought for what you will say.
Amen.
For in that hour, I'll give it to you.
Yes, sir.
And I think how many times I sit back here in the room and I worry about what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say.
Amen.
How many times do we concern ourselves when God has made a promise specifically to the thing you're worrying about? I'll be with your mouth and it'll speak the right things. That's quite a promise. Also, he was told by his mother of his mysterious birth. And when you see the time of the promise drawing nigh, it sets people to praying and to hungering. See? And dropping down paragraph 63, here's where he's telling that about the vision. And he said, I gave a drama on it for the children not long ago, and while Amram was in the room praying, he saw an angel pull his sword and point it to the north, towards the north, and said, you'll have a child and he'll take the children north to the promised land. So there's what they were, God had revealed to the parents. And so that's the reason that the parents had no fear, because the parents could be killed along with the children. If they withheld a child during that time, the Pharaoh was killing all of the male children. And so they were to surrender or else they would die too. They were caught. And so God let them. God always has a way, doesn't he?
Amen.
He always has a way to deliver his children.
Yes, sir.
What he did for Jesus. He told Joseph and Mary, go. Go down to Egypt. Huh? He called them out. He always makes a way. Those three Hebrew children, huh? Yeah. And you know, it's when you watch somebody like Haman, who is so full of the devil that he wants to destroy God's people at any cost, at any lie, at any cheat, and then to see him hang on his own gallows.
That's right.
You know you serve a living God. You know that God is doing this. See, 65, watch, it'll always be scriptural. And it'll stand right with the scriptures because this did. And that's what I'm saying about this thing that we're talking about. It's right with the scriptures. You cannot come to God unless he draws you. Huh? You cannot come to God unless he draws you. So you're free moral agency is going to work perfectly when he starts drawing you to him.
Amen.
Yeah. He's going to anoint you and quicken that seed in there. And when he quickens that seed in there, that seed has a different desire than the soul that you were born with.
Amen.
You were born with the nature of the world. And so the only thing you can do by nature is love the world and the things of the world. And if you still have that nature, the scripture says you don't have the love of God. Because when that nature dies, the world dies. And so then God is in here, and that's the love of God, because God is love. That's the difference. So that's why it says, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you.
Amen.
So when you're born again, then the love of God's in there. And now your decisions, you're still making them. You're still making them with a different nature, with a different life. Now God is in there. You have the mind of Christ according to the scripture. Now you have the nature of God according to the message. Now God is, you're being led of the Spirit according to both. And so God is moving you, and your decisions that you're making, do you still make mistakes? Every day. Every day. But do you also get it right? Do you also look and say, that was God? Huh? You always give him credit, don't you? When you see something supernatural, you see something that just really makes you, I see God was doing that. I see God was doing that. It'll always be scriptural. See, Amram's prayer was just exactly with the scripture. Their prayers was with the promised word. God promised at that time to do it. See, they prayed for it, and here was a proper child. So, once again, as Brother Michael was talking the other night about the time, you know, of the wind blowing all night and all day and the different things. So, this faith that God, before Moses is even born, right? So, God's now revealing to these parents that they're going to have a child. And this child is going to be a proper child. And this child's going to be anointed to take them out. So now that child was not adopted. That child had to be conceived. And so this is going to take some time. This is going to take time to bring forth a son and raise him up. And so by the time this is all said and done, 80 years goes by. The first 40 years, he's in the palace or there, and then 40 years on the backside of the desert. And then he comes back at 80 years old with the stick in his hand to take over the nation. Praise be to God. Watch. Oh, I love this. See, in the hour that Pharaoh was putting to death all the children, see, they saw it, that this was the answer of prayer. That was speaking of Moses' birth. That this was the answer, and that this was the one that Amram seen the vision of. That's right. Paragraph 71. Moses, knowing that he was born for that purpose, he looked out of the windows and watched them Hebrews as they told. Look back here in the scriptures, and it said, and they shall sojourn 400 years, see? But I will bring them out with a mighty hand. Then when he comes back after a commission, anointed, know that he was born, and his faith looked, by faith he saw those people, and know that they were the children of God. Because the word said so, see? They wasn't of the world. They wasn't like the rest of them. That's right. And when that seed come to life up there, something struck him. And he knew there was something going to take place. He knew it, see? And now he slips off and tries to think he would take his military training from this school and deliver them, see? And that failed. That's right. And one day while attending his flocks, I'll just read it. Sorry, I'm trying to move a little bit here. And one day while attending the flocks, all at once, he seen a burning bush up on top of the mountain, burning. And he went up there, and not an intellectual, not an imagination, not a delusion, not an optical illusion. See, there was the God of Abraham in a light, a pillar of fire back in a bush. And that fire, like waves going out, but it didn't bother the bush. And the voice of the scripture, I like this, the voice of the scripture, the voice of God spoke through there and said, I have chosen you.
Amen.
And that's the revelation that he gives to every son and daughter of God. When you meet him, when he reveals himself to you, he reveals that he has chosen you and that you and him are one.
Amen.
And that he is inviting you into himself. He's inviting you into a union, into a marriage, to be one with him. You are the man I raised up for this purpose. I'm proving to you here by signs you're going down to deliver the children of Israel, because my word has got to be fulfilled. Oh, his word of this day has got to be fulfilled. We're living in the hour. No matter what anyone else says, the word has to be fulfilled. That's right. See, heavens and earth will pass away, but my words, his words will not fail. See,
amen.
But not his words. All right, I'm just going to read. Let's read paragraph. I want to get a couple more paragraphs here. 79. Now, when Moses got all this together and seen by every direction, see, it anointed his faith. Amen. Oh, my, what a thought. This itself, seeing the scripture, pointing right straight to what it was, and the speaking of God, and the evidence of it there, it anointed what faith he had in him to go and do the work. There was something in you, and God anointed it, and God quickened it, and God made it real to you. He had the word of his day, you have the word of your day. And every age in between, every time in between, God was quickening the seed, the word of the age, to the believers of the age. What ought it do to us? We need a repentance. We need a revival. I'm saying myself. I need a shaking. I need something. I need awakening up. When I think of that great evidence, everything so perfectly laid out there, and it anointed the faith of Moses. See? And now here he comes back 40 years later, 80 years old, with only a stick in his hand. Why? What was burning down in his heart had become a reality. He was anointed then. See? And he knowed he had thus saith the Lord. There was nothing going to stop him now. He needed no army. God was with him. That's all he needed. God with him. Once you know, once you have a revelation that to think an 80-year-old man is going with a stick down to take over the greatest nation in the world. That is just, you know, the least little things nowadays. We need to be careful, because it's so easy for us to say, that's not possible, that's not possible. The scripture says all things are possible.
Yes,
all things are possible. And we limit God when we say, that's not reality, that's not this, that's not that. Reality in the spiritual realm is all things are possible with God.
Yes, sir.
God is only looking for one thing, somebody to believe it.
Amen.
That's right. That's all he needs, is somebody to believe it. 85. I remember times when the Lord has told me about certain things was going to happen. And then I moved up and seeing it laying right there. Oh, what a feeling. And this is what I told you about. I've run across this several times now. Oh, what a feeling. And he's referring to that boy in Finland when he drove up on that situation, and he seen the boy, and he seen his two boys here, and then he seen the countryside, and he seen the way they're dressed, and he seen the mountains, he seen the soldiers, he seen everything. He knew that this was it. See? Oh, what a feeling. The situation is already under control. That's all, see? Because God said so.
Amen.
If we can get in that, then we'll say the same thing. What a feeling to know. When you know that God has said this is going to be and it's going to happen,
amen,
then there's no fear.
Amen.
There's no doubt. There's no nothing. You know it's going to happen. See, the situation is already under control. That's all, see, because God said so. I remember many of you remember about the little boy being raised up in Finland and then from the dead, then been killed by an automobile, see. I'm going to drop down here, 88. And I looked around, and there was exactly the way the Holy Spirit told me 2 years before. When all of you wrote it in your Bibles across the nations, God had showed him this, and he told the people, said, write this in your Bible. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. 2 years later, he's in Finland on the border of Russia, and now he sees. He drives up on this dead boy. And everything is exactly like he's seen it. The people, he told one of the brothers, go get your Bible and come stand here and read it, what you wrote in your Bible. And the brother, one of the ministers, read it. And there it was, the whole panoramic, all of it. See, when all of you wrote it in your Bibles across the nation, that it would happen. Oh, there then the situation is in hand. No matter how dead he is, no matter what anybody else says, it's all over. He's got to come back. I said, if this child doesn't raise from this dead, I'm a false prophet. I'm a misrepresentation of God. I said, there it is. Nothing can stop it. The situation is already under control. The faith that was within my heart was anointed. See? Oh, if I could only explain that, the faith that God, I had in God, that he told me, see, it never failed. Told me the situation is under control now. Here is exactly what I showed you 2 years ago. Here it is laying just in exactly in order. The only thing you have to do is speak the word. Amen. And the little boy rose up from the dead. See,
right.
Praise be to God. Praise Amen. Be to his lovely name. Amen. We'll ask you to stand with us now. And just speak. Just speak. What are we going to speak today? We're going to speak this revelation. We're going to speak the revelation of the seven thunders. Because that's the thing that's bringing rapturing faith. Because we know that it's the voice of God. We know that it's the mysteries that have been hid from the foundation of the world. That no other people that's ever lived on the face of the earth knows or knew what these seven thunders were. They were not known. They were not revealed. But they are revealed now. And they are living in the bride. Praise be to God. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we thank you and praise you. And Lord, quicken that faith, that seed that's in us, Lord. Quicken that and let it manifest the promise. Let it manifest your life. Let it manifest your words, Lord. Let it manifest everything that you want to bring forth in our life. Lord, let us lay aside our intellectual thinking, our intellectual faith. Let us lay aside what we think is possible and not possible. Let us lay aside those things, Father, and let us declare that all things are possible to them that believe. And Lord, then let us yield ourselves that you can move and manifest anything that you want to do in our lives. Forgive us our shortcomings, our slack places, Lord, but give us faith, give us revelation now as we ask your blessings, your mercy and grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. May God bless you this morning. I would like to sing a song, and we'll invite Brother Michael to come. Amen. Bless you.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. And I'm with Brother Don. I believe I threw that stick down a couple of times. And I for sure would have showed my wife what I got. I said, look at the signs that God's given us. That he's moving, that he's working, that he's fixing to do something. And the thought came to my mind, why did it have to be a snake? Why, you know, he could have thrown the staff down and become a lion or anything. But so I was thinking that thought, and, you know, why did it have to be a snake? Because that's all Janice and Jambers could do. All they could do with their sticks is make it a snake, too. And that's all God needed to do to take care of the problem is just give them better one. So I really enjoyed this service and you being in prayer for Brother Don, pastor, you just be in prayer for him, and the Lord knows all things, and just like he said this morning, he's going to work it out, and a soldier is going to real soldier. He's going to take care of his armor. He's going to take care of his weapons. He's always using them. He's always practicing them because there's a battle coming, or they're in the battle. And so we don't want to take this and just set it aside as, oh, that sounded really good, and then and not, you know, polish it and get into it and study it. You know, we didn't catch everything that was said this morning. I can tell you, I didn't catch, and I'm not sure I want to put anybody down. I for sure didn't catch everything that was said. So it takes getting in there and living this life. And he talked about the seventh angel messenger came. It was in a vessel of flesh. And then when that vessel, then the seventh angel was done and God could come, could now live in a vessel of flesh. And you think God come into that vessel of flesh and said, now, William Branham, what do you think I should do about this? Or what do you think I should? No. Everything that vessel of flesh was working towards and lived through. And again, we're going to make mistakes. But that vessel of flesh surrendered everything that he was so that God could manifest and could speak. And that's the way we are. We're the same thing. This I don't want to preach. The same thing is happening to through the bride. God waved the sheave over us.
Amen.
To show us, this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
This is what I've brought you through. We've come through all the church ages. This is what I've brought you to. Amen. That now the creator of heavens and earth could come and live in a veil of flesh. And that's without sin. That is going to die and rot and go back to the grave? Absolutely. Not trying to save the flesh. But I'm trying to put the focus on what is happening. That God is incarnate in his bride. So, do you know that song, The Token? God spoke to Moses. It's page 223. This song came to my mind while I was talking a lot about Moses and
God's bride.
That's the life today, the token. And that's... The Lord bless you. You're all dismissed. And see y'all Wednesday. Amen.